This is the news, according to me. Good morning, Monday morning, December 28th, 2020, nearing the end of this year. And oh, what a year it has been. We are, so much happened over the weekend. I don't even know where to begin. I've had a hard time putting my show together this morning just because I don't know what to talk about. Of course, the big news is the stimulus. And, let's just get right into this. We have, we have this big news now. The big news is the stimulus / COVID relief package / budget extension, whatever it is. We just keep kicking that can down the road. I don't know that this country will ever see a budget again unless potentially if Trump gets back in and stays in office here, I could see some things changing possibly. Maybe. I don't know. I could see where he may end up getting the whole thing happening with the Federal Reserve, the banking system, the money reserve, all that kind of stuff. I think that there may be some changes. Maybe not. I don't know. He seems to be a big spender. The first time he signed that big omnibus bill, he basically said, this isn't going to happen again. And I think he just did it because it needed to be straightened up. And then he was going to work forward from there and hope. I think he was really intentioning this whole thing. His intentions were that I'll give you guys something. I'll in good faith, and then you're gonna turn around. You're gonna help me with this wall. You're gonna help me with border security. You're gonna help me with the things we need to move forward with. I will work with you on this, and then we'll see. He was trying to open up the door there, and I think what he failed to realize, to his credit, he was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I think that Trump overstepped when he realized he was swimming on the back of a scorpion. Of course, they're going to sting him because they're scorpions. And the swamp is, it's not just Democrats. When I say the swamp, I'm talking, there are bureaucrats that I think are anomalous to both parties. They don't care about the party necessarily. They just care about control, their control, their power, their lust for manipulation of what they think the country should do. There was a time when that wasn't as politically motivated with an agenda as it is now. Like we see I think it's anti-constitutional now. They'll use the word constitution only because they know it polls well, and they'll throw that around. I've seen Nancy Pelosi, when she couldn't hardly say any words, she'll come out and she'll say constitution, rule of law, abuse of power, because they know those are the key words that are polling well, that will get their point across, so to speak. And you'll see her, because I do voiceovers and vocal work for a living, I really notice things that people say a lot. And it's difficult for me to listen to someone. I'm hypersensitive to the way they say things. And I don't know. Sometimes I can just read what people are, how they're cadencing their voice and that kind of thing. And here I am this morning, Monday morning, I can't talk myself, but I can tell whether they're being transparent or not, whether they're really sharing from their heart or if they're just sharing from, this pointed thing. That's one of the things I could never stand about listening to Barack Obama. When the guy was on teleprompter, and this is exactly like what Joe Biden does. He'll sit there and give those squinty little eyes while he's reading the teleprompter, and he'll go back and forth, and he can sound really tough, and he does his little thing, and but when he gets off teleprompter, he's gone. He's not there. He doesn't know what he's saying. He can't keep a straight line thought for very long. Come on, man. I mean, it's one of those things where I hear Nancy Pelosi speak, and it's disgusting to me. The way she talks, just like, well, we have to, pass the bill before we can see what's in it. It's the same thing with this one. this bill that they put out an hour before they had to vote on it. Same thing. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's talk about the topics. Let's go into that. The big thing in the news cycle already is the stimulus. Trump signing the stimulus bill, calling it stimulus bill. It's actually COVID relief stimulus slash. If you look at this whole bill, it's like $2.3 trillion, but it's the 900 and some billion dollar stimulus package is within this whole thing. Three days ago, Friday morning, we had a city get bombed, and that's already worked its way out of the news cycle. It's becoming a thing of the past already. The big thing now is what happened last night. And of course, things that happened over the weekend. So we got the Nashville bombing. We've got, and I'll give you my thoughts on that. We got Rudy making his statements right before Christmas. Sidney Powell is still in the news. The stimulus bill, of course, and then where we go from there, the march on Washington, the election, all those other things. I'd like to talk about the Nashville bombing just a little bit. There are some crazy theories flying around out there that have some plausible ideas. Supposedly, this guy who did the bombing. Now, this is why it makes me believe this guy may be a Trump-supporting / quasi neo-patriot type person. Here's the only thing about this whole thing that makes me want to think that he may be an anti-government type person that is, I don't know. Here's the reason. Because he had this announcement going out that the RV was going to explode. Now, that to me sounds like this is an individual who potentially didn't want to hurt anybody, but he did want to destroy something in that area. And supposedly, the AT&T building was there. I guess that made the communications go down for a little bit with AT&T. So supposedly it's a supercomputer. Supposedly, I've even heard people say that the Dominion servers were in there that were there from that they seized in Germany, which I don't know why they would take them to Nashville, Tennessee, put them in that AT&T building. Makes no sense to me. But then what should? That to me is crazy. Now, supposedly this person would have to know that those servers were there, that there was some kind of issue. Why would servers from Georgia be in, or voting machines from Georgia be in Nashville, Tennessee at the AT&T building for audit? There's a lot of buildings to put those in to do audits in between Georgia or Pennsylvania or anywhere else for that matter. And Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm not buying into that right away. That's just, now there's been some speculation that maybe this person was after the AT&T building because of the whole thing. So that's one of the theories. Now I had a moment to listen to another guy over the weekend and just happened to click on this one little theory. I think I picked it up through, click on one thing and then another, and then it leads to another, and heard this guy talking, and he sounded like he was just wanting to go through all the theories and he didn't want to rule anybody out. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that the guy wasn't just shooting everybody down that had a different plausible, even not even plausible idea. So now I'm already hearing that there were missiles shot into this area, that this RV was used as a target for the missile. They were going to blow this thing up. And the type of missile that was used was going to be they lasered this thing so that the missile could come in and hone in on it and then blow everything up. And seems kind of like that seems pretty crazy too. Now I saw all kinds of stuff after 9/11. There were people out there with all kinds of theories about there were missiles right before the airplane hit the building. It shot missiles out of it. excuse me. The airplane is a missile. And there's, I knew one of the first officers, the co-pilots on the United flight that crashed into Tower 2. So it's, or Tower 1, I can't remember anymore which one the United flight crashed into. I think Tower 2 got hit first, actually. It's kind of backwards because Tower 2, I think, got hit first and Tower 1 got hit second or something like that. And I think people get that jumbled up sometimes. I know I do. So the whole issue here is that this bombing thing, it's going to take on a life of its own, and especially among the conspiracy theory guys that are out there now. And do I think they should be censored? No, absolutely not. Let them talk. Let me have my time to rebut them, and let them, you know, then pile on every time you mention something about why it's not a viable thought or plausible theory, or that it's wacko, and they jump all over you. It's kind of the way it is with, well, I'm not going to mention anything else because I know people will try to jump all over that. So it's, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I mean, the pure definition of a conspiracy theory is used all the time. The FBI uses conspiracy theories. They're always looking into criminal activity that involves conspiracies, and they have to have a theory or to develop probable cause and to develop an investigation. That is not but the term conspiracy theory has taken on this wackiness that doesn't necessarily has no merit, basically. It's just because you say it's just a conspiracy theory, it's been debunked. Okay, show me who debunked it and show me why the theory isn't plausible. A theory is a theory, and people conspire to do things all the time. So if you have a theory about that conspiracy, anyway, I digress. So the Nashville bombing is concerning to me because there are people kind of on the fringes that are really wacko about this thing, and that motivates people to do crazy things. I mean, there were people who were motivated to do crazy things after Ruby Ridge, after David Koresh, some of the other things that had happened. And do I think those were poorly handled and mismanaged? And yeah, absolutely. Things that shouldn't have happened there. And it's, but, you know, that the theories get off in the fringe, and after the first thing you know is people start kind of going off on this crazy vendetta. They get vengeful. They take vengeance into their own hands, and they start doing things that they think, you know, that they're on a just cause, and the end justifies the means. And that's no different than what the liberal left does when they start cheating in elections or doing whatever they're doing because they think that Orange Man Bad justifies anything that they have to do to get him out of office, even if it means treasonous, treacherous activity. So that's all my thoughts on the Nashville bombing. We'll talk about that more this week. I've got a guest coming in at least once this week, possibly twice, hopefully more than once. Good friend of mine, he's in the area, and of course we're going to mask up. We're going to be wearing masks, you know, for the interview. But it's going to be the news according to us for a couple days. It's going to be me and him just discussing things. It should be a good show, really good show, and a couple good shows hopefully, because we can reignite the same kind of discussions that we have in person when we have a microphone in front of our face, because it gets really interesting. So along with this, that's kind of its own thing. The Nashville bombing is kind of its own thing. Let's go on to Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell and all the other stuff that's out there. Let's get into the stimulus bill. The stimulus bill, that's the big thing right now. The stimulus bill, of course, here's the way it kind of happened. The House finally got something that they thought would get through the Senate. Senate decided to sign on to it. And of course, they didn't have a lot of time to look at it. Here's my take on this whole thing. The Republicans signed it with the excuse of, well, we didn't have time to read it. We just had to pass something because the American people needed relief so badly. We need to get this relief to the people so quickly, to businesses as well as, and they're all focusing on the $600 check, which that's one thing. the big thing in this country that really is hurting and it's really going to do more to destroy our economy is small businesses. And they don't necessarily get that. That $600 check goes to the business owners or the employees, but it does not go to the business owners who are forced to shut down and losing their businesses because of the states forcing them, or the, you know, even if it's municipalities or whoever it is that are forcing them to shut down their businesses. Those are the ones that really need the support. But the states and the municipalities are not the ones supporting them. They want government, you know, funding. They're the ones shutting it down. You know, like the particular Grinch from Michigan ended up shutting things down. I guess I don't have to. I can use actually names because this is a podcast. They can't. You know, that so far they haven't started, you know, bumping us offline yet. I used to have a show on YouTube, but that's gone. I used to have a, you know, Facebook's pretty much gone too, but everything's censored now. So you have this issue of, you know, the Republicans kind of came out and they voted for it. They voted it in because they knew that $600 was at least something. I think that that was probably the mentality. I'm generalizing and I'm speculating at this point. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is what they thought. This is just the way I take it, and the way it looks, at least in my optics. So they had to get something passed. They knew that there was all this. I think that they knew there was a lot of pork in this thing. They had to have known. I mean, it wasn't like they just came out from the room, the smoke-filled room, with this 6,000-page document and didn't have any clue that all this stuff was in there. They had to have known some of this stuff, and they had to at least give it a cursory look before they voted on it. I mean, they've got people on their staff. They could each grab, you know, 100 pages and just, you know, skim through them. So they vote on this thing. It gets through the House, gets to the Senate. By this point now, they're finding out all the crap that's in this bill. And it literally is crap. And then it gets to the president's desk. And he actually has the chutzpah to say no. Nope. You got to get more money to the people. And you got to cut some of this fat out in order to make it happen. Now, he also put in there something I didn't realize was in his little response to Congress. And that was that they had to they had to go after the election fraud. Now, how he's going to hold them to that, I have no idea. I have no idea how he's going to hold them to that. Because, of course, they're going to say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll do that, yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll do that. Sure thing, Mr. President. Yeah, we'll get right on that election fraud stuff. About, maybe March or April of 2023. You know, that's the way these guys are. So, see, apparently there's some kind of card he's playing. Now, I listened to a couple other guys, and there's one other person that I heard him say this today, and it plays right into the way I think this is happening. I think that there are things that are going to play out yet that are being held very close to the chest. I don't think that all of the options are being played or shown yet. That's just my opinion. Now, I'm not one to say, you know, that Trump is playing 4D chess and he knows this is all a big sting, and I don't buy into all that yet. I'll believe that when I see it. It's plausible, but I don't think that's the case. I think that there are certain things that are going to trigger certain things. I think there are certain things that are being depended on. I think that Trump is giving every opportunity for the legal system to play out. You know, the system, the constitutional way of doing things to work its way out. There's still constitutional options that he could pull. I know some people are upset that he hasn't pulled some of those yet. But I think it would be very difficult for the country. You know, there's this issue of hearts and minds, and people have to be on board as a whole, as a nation. And I think that, you know, when you've got a press that is incredibly powerful and against him and basically pushing this narrative that it's over for him, and then now they're saying all kinds of things like he's, you know, he's going crazy, he's going nuts. They're still mashing him down because if he pulls something off, they want to make it, they're trying to play the narrative so that They are ready to pounce on whatever happens to make it look like he's the bad guy. So that's what they've been doing for 4 years, 5 years. So that's they've gotten good at it. So we've got Rudy Giuliani coming out and saying, oh, here's the other thing about the stimulus. I'm trying to get into this election thing too quickly. So the stimulus is, it came back, and of course now Trump supposedly signed it last night. I guess that's the news now, is that he signed it last night. So we have a spending bill that is kind of a budget extension thing, as well as the all the other stuff that was needing to be funded. The stimulus bill supposedly is still a $900 billion bill, 980 or whatever it is. And that wasn't a trillion. They were trying to keep it under a trillion, just to keep people happy. And so you've got all these other, one of the things that's in there is transportation, getting airline, I heard him say, we're going to get airline employees back to work. Well, that's great, but there's no work for the airline employees. So the airlines are now going to pay people to sit at home. Most of them would be better off on unemployment. Seriously, especially because of the extra income that they get on unemployment now, the federal backing that gets. So putting them back to work, like I'm an airline employee, they're going to call me back. That means now I have to go back and I have to bid if I want to stay home, which I probably will because there's other guys need to work. I'm going to end up going back. I'm going to bid for stay at home pay. They're going to pay me to stay at home for a month. And it will not be what I could have made in unemployment, even though I'm not on unemployment because I won't draw unemployment. I've never have and I never will. And so it's one of those things where it's kind of a knee jerk reaction to some of this stuff. The people who are laid off are actually probably better off being laid off at this point because there's no work to be done. It'd be one thing if we could get the airlines working again so that there's work to be done and then there's pay to be had and you're actually doing something. But at this point, it's not really. And I guarantee you, the employers are skimming off of this thing. They're only going to do this if it helps their bottom line or positions them in a place where their competition, it betters them with their competition. I guarantee you. I would be surprised if my employer opts into this just because I know they have some other options. They probably will because the bottom line is they care about their bottom line. That's all they care about. So that's the end of the stimulus thing for me. It's we'll see how it plays out. But I think that there's been a lot of paybacks to a lot of people through this whole process. After an election, there's always this massive amount of spending bills that gets passed, whether it's with the current administration or the previous administration or the next administration. And there's always this stimulus thing that happens, and it's always payback. It's when the money starts flowing, it has ways of channeling to places that you'd never realize, and it goes to family members and everything else. And we, the American people, get, whatever. So the march on Washington, we got the election thing coming up. This is it. This March, in my opinion, January 6th is going to be the thing. A lot of speculation about what Pence will do because he presides over the Senate and he will have the option. He can play his hand. I don't know whether he's got, now I know, Pence was our governor here in Indiana. I know that he does things by the book. He's a very obedient person when it comes to doing things, the right way. Whether or not he has the president's back, I don't know. I assume still that he does. I know I'm hearing a lot of things about Pence being a traitor, a turncoat, and all this other stuff, but he's just as bad. He's part of the deep state. At this point, I'm doubting that. I'm doubting that he is. I still hold out that Pence probably, I'm not 100% confident, but I'm more than 50% confident in Pence. And I think that I think Trump chose him for a reason, and I don't think that was just a how did he come to that conclusion? He should pick Pence, and maybe some advisor made that decision for him. I don't think so. I think he made that decision. I think he knew what he was doing when he did it. So And now it's playing out. So it's an interesting cycle of events. I don't know what's going to happen on January 6th. I know that Mitch mumbled some things, and I mentioned this on an earlier show. Mitch mumbled some things about being, you know, not having any hanky-panky on March 6th. He was chastising the senators. And I don't think it's his place to do that, but not at least not publicly. It causes me great concern that, you know, one person can have that much power over other individuals in the Senate. It's just like John Roberts having that much power over other justices. He should be there as a servant, not as a dictator, to tell them how to vote and whether or not they're going to take a case. That is not the role of a leader in that position. That's the role of somebody who's got a motivation and an agenda that's influencing the way other people see things. And I'm surprised that the other three did not stand up for themselves in that process. Clarence Thomas, bold, strong man. Alito, bold, strong, you know, just faithful to the Constitution. Sees the law as the law. Now, all the stuff that the other judges said along the way when they were getting there, you know, you got Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, Barrett, all of them saying things that, you know, they read the law and interpret it just as the law. It needs to stand on its own. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't mean a thing now if they won't stand up for it. It means absolutely nothing. And they mean absolutely nothing. The Supreme Court has ruled themselves irrelevant. They have no real purpose anymore. No respect. At least among those who respect the law. You have people on the right, all these people who voted for Trump, they respect the law, they respect the Supreme Court, they respect, they're law-abiding citizens for the most part. You have the people on the left, and you know how they are. You've got Antifa on the left, and I'm not going to go into BLM, the organization itself. But those are the wackos. And all the cheating that happens, and whenever they find fraud of any kind, 99% of the time, the dead people who are voting are Democrats. They vote Democrat. Why is that? 99% of the time, probably more than that, probably 99, it's about the same as the survival rate on COVID. And why is that? Why is it that the cheating or the anomalies or the, you know, the mistakes, human errors that are made all seem to go Democrat? It's, you know, it's very rare. If they find one ballot for Trump that's illegal, they'll make a big deal out of it. See, it happens on both sides. Doesn't matter. Yeah, okay, sure. Right. Yeah. So what's going to happen on January 6th? Well, it sounds like there's going to be millions of people showing up at Capitol Hill. Now, I'm a little bit torn by this because the senators in Congress are so out of touch and so protected from people. I don't care if there's 50 million people standing outside the Capitol building. They don't care. They're in their little cocoon. They couldn't care less. I don't know that they're going to do anything. They're going to be motivated by what plays out on the camera for them, because they know the news media isn't going to cover a couple million people out on the White House lawn. Now, if a couple million turns into 10 million and those people don't leave until they get justice, I'm hearing people talk about occupying DC. I'll guarantee you that happens, something's going to change. I don't think it's going to happen. People have jobs. Most of the people on the right, most Trump supporters work, have jobs, have businesses, have things they need to have, responsibilities they need to attend to. That's the biggest problem we have on the right, is that we don't want government in our lives. So we don't pay attention to government, what government's doing. So people on the left, at least the leftists and the most radical ones, excuse me, government is their God, so to speak. That's their religion. It's the most important thing to them. And so for them, most of them, it's very... Got my ice maker running in the background, sorry. That's why Occupy Wall Street was, you know, that they could hang out there for months. All the stuff that they do. So, show's getting a little bit long, but it's one of those things where we just want government to leave us alone. I'm not sure how much or how many people are available to do what needs to be done to hold these people's feet to the fire. And I'm literally, some of the news, I've been watching some of the information. So let's just talk about the election itself, election fraud issues. I've been watching some of the reports that have come out over the weekend. NTD, which is closely related to the Epoch Times, has done some, and One America News, all of those are very, very good at what they're doing. And I appreciate Newsmax as well. They've done some things and said some things, but I can appreciate them because they're pretty well balanced. They do report the news pretty well. They don't really censor things too much. They do have to be kind of careful what they say because they do post them. They are posted on YouTube and they do some things on there. But some of the reports, some of the analysis that have come out of some of the numbers. This one guy did an analysis on numbers that is, and I'll try to put some links to the show to the in my show notes. I'll try to put some of the links to some of these reports. Later today, I'll be doing another show, and I definitely will have the show notes or the links to those broadcasts in there because it is absolutely phenomenal. This one guy just figured out in, I think it was two states, the number of votes that were basically called phantom votes. There were no names associated. They were standalone names with no relatives, which is considered a phantom vote, where this person doesn't exist. It's a mail-in ballot with a name that has no ties to anything or anyone anywhere in the country. They can't trace their relatives. No parents, no cousins, aunts, uncles, nothing in the country. And we're talking to the tune of over 500,000 that he found just within two states. So just the information and the analysis that he did alone. Now, he did this, he ran the programs and ran everything by the information that was available. And it is unbelievable. Now, I also watched the testimony. There was a two-part show from NTD over the weekend that it was all people from the Georgia election and the recount and what was happening there and how they were managing that. There were a couple dozen people came forward with testimony of what was happening and what happened and the way they were treated, the things that they saw as ballot, as poll watchers and recount watchers. It's absolutely infuriating. I was absolutely incensed. And here's the reason. Not so much that the fraud occurred. That's one thing. What makes me even madder, the thing that really just inflames me, is that we have representatives, we have people in this country, politicians who are supposed to represent us, supposed to stand up for the Constitution. And what are they doing? I hear... That's all I hear. You tell me that any one of them have sat through even an hour of this testimony or anybody giving any information about the legitimate concerns they have for the fraud that took place. Because I tell you, once you hear this stuff and once you see it and you see the corroborating evidence and the corroborating testimony, and by the way, eyewitness testimony, sworn affidavit eyewitness testimony is considered by law, it's by definition, it is considered direct evidence. So when they say there's no evidence, that means that you know, that just means that nobody from Dominion has come out and admitted to it, I guess. Because we're talking about an action. Well, nobody can prove that person ran across the field. Well, we have three witnesses that said they ran across the field, but well, we can't prove it. There's no evidence. What do you want? It's unbelievable to me that we have representatives and senators that are doing absolutely nothing in the midst of this. They just want us to move on. And people, you know, it's obvious who the rhinos are now. It's becoming very clear who the deep state swamp creatures are. And the people who were, you know, never really in support of Trump to begin with. And I'm not a big, you know, I don't have a Trump flag outside my house. I don't have, you know, I'm not, I base things on policy. This guy, and this guy has ran policy that I strongly agree with. 90% of what he's done, I would agree with. Well, maybe a little less than 90. I don't know. But for the most part, you know, this guy is, you can tell he loves the country. And he's trying to work with what he's got available to work with. I think we'd probably see, I'd probably agree with more if he was able to actually work with a Congress that worked with him. So it's, these are my thoughts. And, you know, I'd appreciate if you can have a way to comment on whatever this is posted on. I appreciate you subscribing and listening and tuning back in. Later today, there will be another show, probably mid-afternoon, sometime, you know, after 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, somewhere in there. Maybe before that, if I go crazy with a bunch of stuff I want to talk about. And the goal this week is to get two shows a day in, probably a morning show and an afternoon show. The afternoon show will probably have a guest either today or tomorrow, possibly Wednesday and Thursday as well. We're coming up on New Year's 2021. See if it's any better. It could be crazier. Never know. Things could always get worse. That's my optimism. Be more optimistic, Kevin. Be more positive. Okay, I'm positive things could get worse. How's that? That'll work. In the midst of all this stuff on January 6th, Mitch has been very quiet. Mitch McConnell has been very quiet, which you have to kind of wonder what he's... This gets back to that whole thing of you don't want to show your hand. You don't want your opponents to know what's going on, because if you'll say, well, I'm going to do this. If you come out and say, well, if you do that, I'm going to do this. Well, then they'll prepare for that. If you don't tell them what you're going to do, then all of a sudden, boom, he springs something on January 6th. And now we find out that Pence can't do anything, or that somehow McConnell can do something that we weren't expecting because of some kind of, you know, little rule in the House that we didn't know about. So, because, you know, they could probably change the rule before then if they knew that there was some kind of loophole that Mitch could pull. And that's what concerns me about this whole thing, because all along the way, every time we thought that there should be something, some kind of action done, well, we finally got it to the Supreme Court, we got it there, and all of a sudden they just don't hear it. They don't hear it. Who would have thought that? That blew my mind. I was surprised, really kind of shocked that the Supreme Court just turned it down. And now they've decided to take on one about immigration policy. They have time for that. No time to deal with the election issues. Yeah. At this point, in my opinion, it has gone beyond, this isn't about Trump anymore, in my opinion. I think people are starting to realize this is no longer about Trump. This is about our country and going forward and being able to go forward if we can. I don't think we can without dealing with this. We have to deal with this before we move forward. And I don't know that we can just say, well, we're going to fix it next time. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's got to be dealt with now. And that means Trump wins. And it doesn't just mean Trump wins. It means we still fix the problem. Because it's going to come up again in 2024 or 2022. So fix the problem this time, make it right, make the wrong right, and fix the problem. Fix what made it. There's two things we need to do there. And then we can start dealing with all the traitors and the deep swamp creatures and the people who are in bed with the CCP and everything else that's going on with that. All right, that's my show for this morning. I appreciate everybody listening again. Once again, thanks for subscribing. Thanks for listening. Hope you all had a good Christmas weekend, and have a happy new year. Very happy new year.